Well, good morning. If you got your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to be starting in verse 21 today. And it's been so good the last couple weeks. I haven't preached, but I am excited to be back with you guys. But I just want to catch us up of where have we been in the flow of Mark. And so what we've seen is that Mark has started this gospel proclaiming that Jesus is the promised Messiah. That's a big proclamation. It's been a long time waiting for the promises of God to come to fruition. And so Mark just declares right up front, Jesus is the guy you've been waiting for. He's the one that was promised long ago, the seed of Adam. He's the one that was the promised seed of Abraham. He's the one that was the promised son of David. And that's particularly important as we get into our text today, because connected to the seed of David was a promise that he would usher in a kingdom, that he would be the king of a kingdom where it would last for all of eternity. And so we're going to see in our text today that there are some kingdom parables. We're going to see that there's three truths about the kingdom of God that we're going to learn today. But Mark has been building this case that Jesus is this promised one, the Messiah, the Son of God. That there's good news to that because it's through him that we can have a relationship with God. And connected to our text this morning, that it's through him that we can be brought inside the kingdom rather than be those that are outside the kingdom. We've been seeing in the text last week that there's a distinction between those outside and those inside. And Jesus makes that distinction. And the distinction is based off of what you do with Jesus. What you do with the message that he proclaims. That through him and through him only can people be saved. That it's only by faith in Jesus Christ that people can be brought into the kingdom. That we once were enemies, but that we can be brought in as not just enemies, but heirs with the king. And so it's in this vein of this flow of Jesus being shown as the king, as the promised one, that we get to this text in Mark chapter 4. Now, again, let me just set the setting just a little bit so that we understand Jesus is giving this instruction, this teaching at a time when the kingdom of God looks like, well, maybe Jesus is the king, and he's got a ragtag group of 12 guys who are not the most impressive to have on your team, right? It's a kind of ragtag group of some fishermen and a tax collector and some zealots and really people that would probably have been picked last. But Jesus has said, through these guys, through this message, I'm going to bring in my kingdom, to which everybody would be going like, right? Like that is the setting, but yet accompanied with this teaching, Jesus is doing these miracles and he's teaching in a way that they've never experienced before. They're getting to see him heal the blind, raise the lame, cast out demons. And so he's bringing in a power and an authority that they haven't seen. And so they're in this place going, okay, well, wait a minute. Maybe he really is bringing in his kingdom. But the setting of what Jesus is doing is all coming underneath this other kingdom. There's a Roman kingdom that is strong and powerful. That's the authority of the day. They do whatever they want and no one opposes them. And now you have Jesus who's bringing in another kingdom. And so people are going, well, is it going to be authoritative? Is it going to be powerful like Rome? Is this the way that the kingdom of God is going to come in, that he's going to conquer and rule and reign? And Jesus gives us this instruction. And there's four parables. Kevin taught on the last one last week, on the first one last week. And so we saw the parable of the soils that was connected to the kingdom of God, of who's in and who's out of the kingdom. But then we're going to see three kingdom parables today. And so let me just give you a broad overarching statement of what we're going to see. We're going to see today that the kingdom of God will grow by the power of God until it has reached every nation and tribe and people. Let me tell you that again, that the kingdom of God will grow by the power of God until it has reached every nation and tribe and people. Now, before we jump into looking at this text, I just want to pull one thing out, that the only command that's given in this text is to listen. It's given in verse 3, it's given in verse 9, it's given in verse 13, it's given in verse 23, and then it's given again in verse 24. The only command is to listen. And so that's the same command that's given to us, that we might hear Jesus' words and they might begin to transform us by the truth which they proclaim. So let's pray and ask God to do that in us, that he would give us ears to hear. Lord, would you help us this morning? Would you help us to have ears which are tuned to hear your voice? Lord, that we might listen in such a way that we would obey, that we would listen in such a way with an intent to understand. Lord, would you help us in this, that you might give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to understand, that we might go out of this place different because we've encountered you in your word. Lord, that we might go out from this place eager and emboldened by the power of the gospel, that we might go out from this place encouraged rather than discouraged, knowing that you are bringing about your kingdom, Lord, and that we might go out of this place reflecting your glory to a world that's so desperately in need of it. Lord, would you help us this morning? Give us ears to hear. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let's read our text beginning in verse 21. And I think it's helpful to see all of these parables connected together. Verse 21 says this, "And he, being Jesus, said to them," and I think the "them" is the crowds, that he's saying to the crowds, "Is a lamp brought into be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except will be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and he rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and it grows, and he knows not how, but the earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which was sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can come and make nests in its shade." With many parables, he spoke the word to them. As they were able to hear it, he did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. So Jesus is giving parables here. And again, I think Kevin did a great job of explaining what a parable is. I've heard it said that a parable is a fictional story that's 100% true. That it's 100% made up from the mind of God, but it's 100% true because it's 100% from God in what it's communicating. That it's an everyday example of a heavenly truth. And so Jesus is speaking in everyday terms, but he's speaking to what's below the surface. The analogy of reading between the lines, that he has a truth to proclaim, but it's coming about in just an everyday example. So let's look at this first one. It's the lampstand. It's the parable of the lampstand. It's from verses 21 to 25, and here's the truth I think we want to capture out of this, that the kingdom has been brought near to shine. The kingdom has been brought near to shine. Verse 21, "And he said to them, is a lamp brought into be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand?" It's very simple. It's a question that he asks. He's assuming that these people have some familiarity with lighting a lamp, to which I think most of us, maybe you don't light lamps in your house for light, but we can pick up on what he's saying, that a lamp is not lit and brought into the house in order to be covered up and hidden. That's just ridiculous. Why would anybody do that? Why would you bring the lamp in the first place if you're just going to hide it? What's the point of it? It's exactly what Jesus is saying. It's not meant to be hidden or put under a basket. It's also not meant to be stuffed under your bed. Who knows what you find under there? Monsters, maybe? Just kidding. Those don't exist, children. But you don't bring a lamp in to stick it under your bed. It doesn't serve its purpose there. You bring a lamp in order to set it on a stand, in order that it might expose, in order that it might illuminate, in order that it might push back the darkness. You bring a lamp into a room in order to shine. And so Jesus is making this analogy that the kingdom of God has not come near. That Jesus has not come near, and this message of the kingdom has not come near in order to be concealed and to be hidden. And some of you are like, well, wait a minute. Hasn't Jesus been telling people to keep quiet? Hasn't he been telling people not to speak of who he is? The rest of our text is going to explain what he means, that for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to be brought to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear that Jesus is saying here that the kingdom and the kingdom's message have come near in order to shine, and they expose the hearts of men. That the message of the gospel exposes the hearts of men. That in the teaching of this message, it reveals whether you're outside the kingdom or inside the kingdom. That doesn't happen except for that a message is shined, except for the kingdom is brought near. You don't know. But when the kingdom comes near, it exposes that everything which is hidden is now made manifest. And there's a time of this. One of the things that I think we see in the progression of all of these parables is that the kingdom of God is progressively happening. It's not an instantaneous thing. The kingdom of God doesn't come like a lightning bolt and flash and it's there and done. No, the kingdom comes and it exposes and it reveals. And right now, just remember, Jesus is coming with this ragtag group of guys and he's telling them that the kingdom is shining this light and that everywhere that this message goes, it begins to shine a little more. And as this message is proclaimed, it's beginning to reveal the hearts of the people. Now, ultimately, there's going to come a moment in the Gospel of Mark where the proclamation is made that Jesus is the Son of God. It comes in Mark chapter 8, and then in Mark chapter 9, then we see even more that Jesus is revealed as God. And that at this moment, many commentators believe that he's speaking of this manifestation coming, that then it is revealed to the world who Jesus is, that the gospel was hidden and Christ's identity was hidden for this moment of being exposed, and that it's at this exposure to the light of the gospel that people either respond in faith or they reject him. Now, it's at this place that if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is leading them to a place that if you have spiritual understanding of this, that he is the light of the world that has come in to expose the darkness, to draw people to himself, then if you have faith to see him, you see him. But if you don't have faith to see him, then you don't see him. Now that's a pretty simple statement, right? Those who have faith to see, see. Those who don't have faith, don't see. But that's exactly what we see here. Verse 24, Jesus then tells them, and he said to them, pay attention to what you hear, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Well, what he's referring here to is that they had standards of measurement. Now, the amount that you measured out, maybe of grain, to say, okay, I'll pay you this much for this amount of grain. Then that same measurement would then be used for you on how much you would receive for the amount of grain, that the same measurement is used both ways. Well, what does this mean spiritually? It means that the ability of you to exercise faith and trust in what has been revealed to you is the ability in which you receive the enlightenment of who Christ is. The same measure cuts both ways, for what you put in is what you get out. But he goes on and he says, it will be measured to you and still more will be added. So he's telling us a truth about spiritual discipline, about spiritual maturity, is that the more you use it, the more you gain. I don't know if you've experienced this. I know that I have, that as you walk in faith, you get to experience the reality of Christ's faithfulness, of God's truth, that he is faithful, that he is good. And that as you walk in those steps of obedience, trusting in his goodness, you experience his goodness. But to the extent that you go, nope, I'm not walking by faith. I'm not going to trust in that. I'm not going to take those steps of obedience. You don't experience it. And there's actually what we've seen in the text is that in refusing to walk by faith, in refusing to walk in obedience, there's actually a hardening of our heart that happens. That as we refuse it, we actually move in the opposite direction away from what Christ has for us. And he says that the one who walks in obedience, the one who walks in the amount of that's been measured to them, they'll be added more. Verse 25, but for the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. There's a warning here that how you respond is of vital importance to your spiritual faith. How you respond decides whether you're in or out. Now, I think it's helpful for us to think through this, and as I was talking to my wife about this, I think at the root of this is Jesus is, again, communicating to the crowds. He's communicating to unbelievers. And so there is a warning to them that if they continue to reject the message of the gospel, then there comes a point where they're so hardened by it that what the parable last week talked about, Satan comes and he snatches out the seed that was sown, that it's taken away from them. And that's what we see in the text here, that there's a warning to respond to the truth and the gospel that is available to you. You don't have to have it all figured out. You're not going to have it all figured out. But will you take a step of obedience to what you do have? That's what we see in this text. The first thing that we see is the kingdom has been brought near in order to shine. And we either take the truth of that and set it on a lampstand, or we take the truth that has been brought near to us and we cover it up and say, I don't want to deal with that. But the gospel has been brought near in order to shine. It's foolish to hide the truth of the gospel. The second thing that we see in this text is from this second parable. It's the parable of the growing seed. It's that the kingdom grows by the power of God. So we saw that the kingdom has been brought near to shine. Now we see that the kingdom grows by the power of God. Look at verse 26 with me. It says, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and he sleeps and he rises night and day. And the seed sprouts and it grows, and he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. What in the world is he talking about? Well, Jesus is talking about how the kingdom of God grows. The kingdom of God grows in such a way that it's like a guy who just scatters some seed and goes, all right, time to go to bed. And he goes to bed and he wakes up. And he goes to bed, and he wakes up, and he goes to bed, and he wakes up, and all of a sudden, one day he comes out, and the seeds which he had just thrown out there have grown. That's how the kingdom grows. Not because of anything that the man did. The purpose of this parable is not for us to know and spend our time talking about this farmer. Man, look at his form and how he threw those seeds. No. wow, he must have been really a great farmer. Just threw out some seeds. No, the purpose of this parable is for us to see that the power of the kingdom grows by the power of God. The kingdom of God grows not because of anything that man does. The kingdom of God grows not because of your evangelism strategy. The kingdom of God grows not because of your church's outreach strategy. The kingdom of God grows not because of some sophisticated way in which you do church. The kingdom of God grows not because you have community groups. The kingdom of God grows not because you were the one that shared the gospel in just the right way. The kingdom of God grows because the power of God. That's why the kingdom grows. It's not anything that we do that makes the kingdom grow. We just get to be a part of throwing seeds. The kingdom of God grows because God ensures it. I love how it lays it out that the farmer doesn't even know how it grows. And I've been there, shared the gospel with somebody. I was just bumbling, stumbling, just blah, 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 blah. And they're like, Jesus, yes, I want that. And you're like, how? How did that happen? And I've been in other times where it's like, you dig, you plow, you plant, you fertilize, you weed, you, and it's like, the seed won't grow. Think I preached the best sermon, got the best gospel presentation, been praying for these people. And it's like you plant the seed and you're like, grow, grow, come on. It doesn't grow. What's the difference? God's kingdom grows by God's power, in God's time, and in God's way. It's all about him. It's not about us. Now that's incredibly freeing for us. If you're scared to share the gospel because you think that, well, I don't know what to say, it's not about you. Throw some seeds. See what God does. It's about the kingdom of God growing by the power of God. But look at what it shows here too, verse 28. The farmer doesn't know how it happens, but verse 28 says the earth produces by itself. That overarching in this is that God is sovereign and he's at work, that he is working, that the earth is producing this by itself. But look at how it grows. First, it's a blade. First, it's just like a little leaf. Not anything that we're like, yeah, got a leaf. What? First, it's a leaf. Then the ear comes and you're like, yes, it's growing, it's maturing. Then a little more time, the full grain in the ear. That there's a progression that we see here. That the kingdom of God grows. It doesn't just happen. I think that many in Jesus's day, Jesus shows up and they're like, king's here, kingdom. And Jesus is instructing them and he's going, no, the kingdom of God grows by the power of God, but it's going to grow. It's going to grow. But then look at what it says. Once the grain in the ear, but then when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. That just as sure as there was a beginning to the kingdom, there is an end to the kingdom. That there is a timeline in which the kingdom of God is going to grow and it will reach its full completion. And then the Lord will return. That he will come again. Now we don't know when that is, but we can see that the kingdom of God's been growing. I think that's an encouragement for some of us, that we look at our world and we look at the things going on and we go, Lord, where are you? Is your kingdom coming? Oh, it's growing. It's growing in places and in ways which we don't see and which we don't understand. But it's growing by the power of God. And it's ripening and it's coming into its full fruit. And when it is done, when it has fully reached maturity, then the Lord will come. This gives a warning to those who are looking and listening to say that don't wait. Don't put off responding to the kingdom of God because an end is coming. A harvest will happen. And those who are inside the kingdom will be welcomed in, not just as friends, but as heirs. But those outside the kingdom will face judgment. There's many different scripture verses that talk about the angels coming and reaping the harvest, that they will bring a sickle and they will bring in the harvest, that they will bring in those who are a part of the kingdom. But to those outside, they'll be cast out. The third thing that we see in these parables as it grows, as we gain these truths about the kingdom, the first was the kingdom has been brought near to shine. The second is that the kingdom grows by the power of God. And the third is that the kingdom will grow and encompass the whole earth. The kingdom will grow and encompass the whole earth. Look at it, verse 30 with me. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable should we use for it? Now that's important for us, that Jesus again is speaking in a specific type of language, a parable, an analogy. And he says, verse 31, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth, and yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants. And it puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make its nests in its shade. What is he saying? Well, he's saying that the kingdom, what can we compare the kingdom to? Well, we can compare it to this itty bitty little thing that's seemingly insignificant. Now think about the time in which he's saying this. He's speaking about the kingdom of God, which is going to be a global kingdom, which is going to be a cataclysmic event and change eternity for people. And he's got this ragtag group of people, 12 guys, who aren't the cream of the crop. And he's like, the kingdom of God can be compared to this mustard seed. So insignificant that at this time it would have been known as the smallest seed on the earth. Now, some of you scientific people are out there and you're like, see, the Bible isn't true. I know. You're like, mustard seed's not the smallest seed. There's an orchid seed that's 1/300th of an inch. That's the smallest seed. See, you can't trust the Bible because the Bible says stuff that's not true. Well, wait a minute. This is where I love English professors. This is a part of speech, right? We have to understand this as a part of speech, that he's comparing this and he's saying that this is something so small and insignificant that at this time it would have been the smallest of the seeds that they would have sown. And so this farmer, he sows a mustard seed. Wouldn't have even been able to see where they went, would have just thrown it wherever it landed. Doesn't show up, doesn't make any splash. Throw this into a pond and there's no ripples. And yet, he says that the kingdom is going to grow from this insignificant thing to the largest of the garden plants. It's going to exponentially grow. It's going to grow into something which can't be ignored. It's going to grow into something which mustard seeds at this time, once a mustard seed was sown into a garden, they said you couldn't get rid of it. It's like weeds. That the seeds would have just continued to spread and they would have continued to grow. That it was going to grow into something which was ultimately going to provide shade and shelter for the birds. From something insignificant to something large. That's what the kingdom can be compared to. Now you and I are here because of the truth of this claim. That there was a group of 12 guys with a Messiah who said that through this message you can be reconciled back to God. That if you trust and believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you can be a part of the kingdom. And these guys began to proclaim this message and they didn't even have social media to get it out. They just began to sow these seeds and they watched them grow and bear fruit in their life and in others' lives. And then those seeds began to bear fruit in others' lives and those seeds began to bear fruit in others' lives. And for thousands of years, these seeds have been reproducing and bearing fruit. in order that they might produce more fruit. And that's why you and I are here. It's because the kingdom of God is growing. And it's growing to encompass the whole earth. See, the scriptures tell us that when the harvest is ripe, when the kingdom has reached its completion, it's going to look something like this out of Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. John's given this vision. He says, "After this I looked, and behold, there was a great multitude that no one could number. Had grown from this insignificant 12 to that which no one could number. From every nation and from all the tribes and the peoples and the languages." That it was going to spread and encompass every people group and every nation and every tribe. Guess what? Every people group and every tribe has not heard the name of Jesus. There's still more work to do. There's still a need for people to take the seed of the gospel and to sow it into really hard places. And to sow it into places that seem like it won't produce anything, but yet to watch the power of God grow the gospel. And they were standing there before the throne and before the Lamb, and they were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they were crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." That the kingdom of God is going to spread to every people and tribe and nation. You and I are going to get to hear about Lottie Moon next week. And you're going to get an opportunity to participate and be a part of the gospel getting to every people group and tribe and tongue and nation. Because that's what the kingdom of God does. And as kingdom people, we get to be participants in what the kingdom is about. We get to be participants in letting the light of the kingdom shine wherever you go. We get to be participants in watching the kingdom grow by the power of God, not by our own ingenuity. And we get to be a part of watching and participating in the kingdom going to every people and tribe and nation. These truths about the kingdom will transform our life. They transform our priorities. They transform our thinking. They transform our daily living, that we are a part of the kingdom which is growing. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us to be about this business? Lord, would you help us to respond to this truth which we've heard with obedience, with faith? Lord, that as you're working in each individual life, Lord, calling people to things, encouraging them for things, emboldening them for things, Lord, I pray that they would walk in obedience to your calling. Lord, that we would be a kingdom people going about the business of the King, ushering in your kingdom, longing for the day when you return because your kingdom has reached maturity. Lord, give us hope